Blog Talk Radio.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be ours, it will be ours. Oh, one day, when the war is won, we will be strong.
The heavens, no man, no weapon formed against, yes, glory is destined. Everyday women and men become legends. Sins that go against our skin become blessings. The movement is a rhythm to us. Freedom is like religion to us. Justice is just a position in us. Justice for all just ain't specific enough. One son died, his spirit is revisiting us. True and living, living in us. Resistance is us. That's why Rosa sat on the bus. That's why we walk through Ferguson with our hands up. When it go down, we woman and man up. They say stay down, and we stand up. Shots be on the ground, the camera panned up. King pointed to the mountaintop, and we ran up.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be ours. It will be ours. Oh. Now the war is not over, victory isn't won, but we'll fight on to the finish, and then when it's all done, we'll cry glory, oh glory, oh.
Selma is now for every man, woman, and child. Even Jesus got his crown in front of a crowd. They march with the torch, we gon' run with it now. Never look back, we done gone hundreds of miles. From dark roads, heroes, to become a hero. Facing the League of Justice, his power was the people. Enemy is lethal, a king became regal. Saw the face of Jim Crow under a bald ego. No one can win the war individually. It takes the wisdom of the elders and young people's energy. Welcome to the story we call victory. The coming of the Lord, my eyes have seen the glory.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be ours, it will be ours. Oh, glory. Oh,
glory. Hello, everybody. Leonard Johnson with a Monday night edition of the Triple Wing Hammer Report, and this is our second installment of a Monday night show where we will be talking to specifically to African-American head football coaches here in the state. And you know, I'm so glad to be able to do this. Again, thank you for all you guys who feel that there's a value in this, and you know, we do it because we just want to give all of our guys a platform to talk about the program. And when I say programs, I meant the programs. And we just want to just have a good conversation, you know, just let people know what's going on in the state with your program. Last week we had Nate Thompson from Converse Bay High School, and well, we got a lot of good feedback on that, and you know, and he's gradually creeping up as one of our best shows that we have done since we've been doing this. So thank you to all you guys for your support, and you know, just happy to do this. Like I said, I learned so much as I listen. And to you guys, know what you're doing in your program. Some things I take back to our program. And just to see that we all do different things towards the same goal. And, you know, a lot of times you just sit back and listen, you learn a whole lot. Tonight we have the young famous Kevin Crosby, Kevin Bush Crosby from Bamberg Earhart. I met this young man maybe about 10 years ago, I think. I can't remember, but I've always remembered him and his brother as a duet, you know, and as a power team. And, you know, I've never seen brothers work so well together towards one simple goal, and that's to do the best for those kids. I mean, they do a fantastic job in their program as far as getting kids ready to play, but more important than that, getting them ready for the next level and giving them exposure and everything. And you know, that has always impressed me about what they do and everything. So let's see if we can get Kevin on, and he can tell more about his story than I can. And maybe we can learn something tonight. Kevin, are you there?
I'm here. How about can you hear me?
I got you loud and clear, man.
Oh, good, good, good.
I'm glad to have you on, man. I'm thrilled to have you on.
I appreciate you even giving a thought to call and have opportunity to be a part of this. Didn't know a lot about it, but once I talked to you, and it's a great thing that you're giving an opportunity to young African American football coaches to express some of the things that they're doing in their program. There are so many out there that have good programs. You know, we're just one of the ones that have been blessed to have a decent program, I would say. I won't say a great program. We're trying to get to that point. But we do have a decent program here, and we're trying to build each and every day that we have opportunity.
Kevin, could you tell us a little bit about you? You know, a lot of people see you and really don't know you. could you just talk about who you are, what you've done, and everything?
I'm a native here of Bamberg, South Carolina. You know, I've played ball here for Bamberg Earhart. Graduated in 1990, played under Leon Maxwell, the late Leon Maxwell, who was a great coach, a great mentor to me. You know, went off and played football at Lees McRae College, a small school up in Bannock, North Carolina, up in the mountains. Enjoyed playing there for 3 years. Graduated and came back to Bamberg. And started beginning coaching in 1993. Had an opportunity to coach here up under Tommy Rowland. He gave me a job coaching outside linebackers. And it was something that, you know, I was just filtering and testing the water, not really understanding that I wanted to go into coaching. But because I came back to Bamberg and was going back to school to get my bachelor's degree, he gave me an opportunity to come out and coach football. I got there and I enjoyed it. I met a young man at the time, Wayne Farmer, who's turned out to be my biggest mentor when I was coaching in Bamberg. And in 1995, he had an opportunity to go off and become a head coach at Ellery High School. In the process of him leaving to become head coach, he gave me my first opportunity to become a coordinator. He said, you know, I've never been a head coach. I told him I'd never been a coordinator. And he said, you know, I'm going to take this job, and I'd like for you to go with me. So I took the opportunity and ran with it. I went to Ellery to become his defensive coordinator, learned as I went. I learned from different people, you know, philosophies of football, philosophies on defense. I stayed there with him until 2000. Came back here in 2001, and I came back to Bamberg from Ellery and stepped into working with Butch Jacobs here at Bamberg, coached here for 1 year with him, coaching outside linebackers. And then in 2003, I think it was 2002, I think, Ron Duncan took over as the head coach, and it gave me the opportunity again to become a defensive coordinator. We were successful here when Ron was here, and Ron left, and actually I had the opportunity to become the head coach here in 2008. You know, they gave me my alma mater, gave me a chance of becoming the head coach here. And I've been here since 2008. We've combined a record of probably about 94-22. You know, it's been a blessing to be back home. It's been a blessing to coach these young men. We've had an opportunity to do a few things as being the head coach. I've actually coached in both All-Star games as assistant coaches here in the state of South Carolina, North South. I coached in 2013. I coached in the Shrine Bowl in 2015. And then turned around in 2014. I actually was assistant coach in the Under Armour All-American game. My son was there, played, got an opportunity to be on the field and be assistant coach there, worked as a defensive lineman. And then this past 2016, I was actually granted the head coach of the Semper Fidelis Bowl game held out in Los Angeles, California, being the head coach of the East team. And I had an opportunity to go out there and coach some great young men. We actually won the game. The East won the game that night. So I've had a lot of opportunities being here in Bamberg. Enjoyed every minute of it. Looking forward to the upcoming season. That's just a little bit about, you know, where I've been and what I've been through to get to this point.
Here's a question I wanted to ask you. How do you and your brother keep it together?
How do we keep it together?
How can it work so well together? No, that's on the outside.
Say that again?
No, y'all seem to work so well together, but that's the appearance from the outside. If there's anything inside,
You know, anytime you get an opportunity, you know, that was one of the blessings I had. Even when Mom was here, I was a defensive coordinator. Corey was actually coaching in Allendale, Fairfax. And, I was looking for a linebacker coach because I was coaching linebackers, but I was more comfortable coaching defensive line. And, you know, I told him, I said, man, why don't you come to Bamberg and, you know, let's try and get you on at Bamberg. And he was like, well, I don't know. So he eventually gave in and came over to Bamberg and worked under me as a linebacker coach when I was defensive coordinator. And then he took over as defensive coordinator when I took over in 2008 as the head coach. We work well together. You know, we bump heads. But one thing about it, at the end of the day, we don't take football. We don't bring it home and let it become a burden among us. Whatever our differences are out there stays out there. You know, at the end of the day, we're still brothers. You know, it's good to disagree to agree. You know, we do a lot of that. I give him his say-so. He gives me my say-so. But, you know, at the end of the day, you know, he respects that I'm still a head coach and the ultimate decision is still mine. Even though, you know, he may not like it, he's going to still support it. And I think that's been the biggest thing is, you know, his support. You know, I listen to him as well as he listening to me. And I think that's made it a good, you know, good tandem of, you know, I know he's there to watch my back. He know I has his back. You know, I don't worry about defense on Friday night. If he gets into a problem, he'll ask me, what do I need to do? And I give him my opinion, and he goes with it. If I say I want to see something, he don't question it. He'll do it, even though if it works, you know, it's good. If it don't, you know, at the end of the night, he'll be like, I ain't think we should have done that, you know. But, you know, that's what you want to see. That's what we did. So it all works out good. I thought, you know, for the most part, you know, we've been enjoying it. He's had opportunities to go other places that he's held off on because wanting to stay here with me and try to make a run and try to win a state championship here in Bamberg. So I've had opportunities that I've turned down because also the same thing, you know, if I couldn't take him with me, then that's one of the things that I'm not going to do is I'm not going to just up and leave because I know what value he brings to any program. And that's one of the good things about it because he does our strength and conditioning program. He does a heck of a job there. And that's one of the things that call, you know, give us a chance to win here in Bamberg is our strength and conditioning program. And I don't worry about that. You know, I don't go in the weight room and oversee what he does. He does a great job with it.
Now, how about your other staff? How well do y'all work together?
You know, one thing about our staff, I have another set of brothers, the Williams brothers. They are both on the offensive side of the ball. I try to get coaches that have ties to Bamberg. For the simple fact, I've learned the more ties you have to a program, to a staff, the longer you're going to stay together. We're not here trying to use each other as a stepping stone to get a bigger job. We got one common goal, and that's to win here in Bamberg. If opportunity knocks, I welcome them to look and take other jobs. You know, that's totally left up to them. But while we're here, you know, it's all about Bamberg, and that's what we do. You know, and that's just because we have We have genuine ties to Bamberg. Most of them are graduates of Bamberg. I have a defensive line coach that graduated that I coached when he was in high school. I have a defensive back coach that I coached when he was in high school that I brought back. I have a quarterback's coach that I coached when he was in high school that I brought back. So, you know, our staff is built on a lot of guys that have been inside the program in some aspect and have some ties to Bamberg. So I think that's been one of our key, you know, that's been one of the things that's caused us to be successful is that we know each other. They know me. They play for me. They know what I expect as coaches. You know, like I tell them, I don't micromanage. I shouldn't have to come and stand over you to make sure things are getting done. Whatever you do, I want to be able to look back at it on Friday night and see it on film. If not, then whatever you're doing, you got to change. And they understand that. And that's what makes us, you know, so unique, and that's what makes us work so well together is because we understand what we expect. They understand what I expect.
Now, you have built, as your record is saying, you have built a remarkable record and a couple of trips to the state finals. What have you done in your program to get it to that point where now you're not trying to win ball games, is that you are always looking, always have those guys pointing towards playing in Columbia. What have you done in your program as far as getting that talent?
I guess it's to get the kids to buy into what we're trying to sell. When I first took over as head coach, the one thing I told Corey was I want to make sure that we reach out to our younger kids in our rec program. When they have games, we need to be there. We need to see them. We need to support them because we want them to know who we are so that they can come into our program. We start them off in the seventh grade. We bring them over and we start their own weightlifting program. We do weight room with them separately. We don't bring them in with our older guys. It's just to get them to know us, to get them to understand what we're looking for, to learn our personalities, also for us to learn their personalities. And the biggest thing is we've also combined academics. You know, that's one thing that we stress is academics to our guys, and our guys have understood that in order to have a chance, then you got to take care of your academics inside the building. And that's one of the things that these guys have understanding now is they look at some of the guys that have gone on, Daquan Bowers and Ricky Sapp and A.J. Cann and Casey Crosby and Chris Preston, you know, just to name a few of them. They've seen what they've had the opportunity to go off and do. And, you know, that in itself will sell your program when they see other guys have an opportunity to go off and play on the next level. And so it don't take a lot to sell it once you get to that point. But you got to get it to that point to where they understand that that's what it's about.
Do a lot of those guys come back home and talk to you kids?
Oh, most definitely. Yeah, we leave it open. We leave our weight room open. Whenever they want to come back home and they're home, they come in the weight room. They can come in and practice. They can come in anytime. It's an open door policy to all of our guys that have played inside the program. Come back, and because I want you to be visible, I want you to be able to come back and talk to these guys and tell them, you know, what you've done that's caused you to get where you are, what we've done to help you to get where you are, and just to trust in what we're trying to tell them. So anytime they get a chance and they come back home, they're always at the school, they're always in the building, they're always at practice. They always come back. You know, a lot of those guys come back, and those NFL guys come in and do put on camp during the summer with these young kids, which is a good thing. You know, they come in and they go through different training sessions with them, and it gives us the opportunity to get out there and let them know that these guys started exactly where you started at. And it's been good. It's been a good run seeing these guys come back and talk to these young guys, and they kind of sell it for us without us having to do a lot ourselves.
You seem to have a good working relationship with your administrator. How did you get that going?
I guess administration came. This is the first year I've been here that we've been through a principal change. which has still been a good transition. I came in under a principal that was a football guy because his daddy, Leon, was a head football coach. So all he knew was, football and sports. So it helped out that he knew what needed to be done to get these young men where they need to be at, because he's been around it all of his life with his daddy being the coach. So it wasn't like he was fighting against what I was doing, because one thing I don't do is I don't try to take away from the kids' educational time to take care of football. You know, I just don't believe in that. A lot of programs have football class. We don't have a football class. I want them to get as many core classes they can get, because I want them to have the opportunity to go off and play at the next level. And I don't want to take that away from them, because I'm being selfish saying, look, we're going out at 1:30 and we can get 4 or 5 hours of practice in when that kid actually could be in a core class. And he understood that, and that was one of the things that helped, was that they understood that I wasn't trying to take away from my education in order just to get the football program where it needs to be. I'm going to work it, but also I need your support when I do need something, or I ask for something that, you know, they're more apt to be able to say, you know, he don't ask for a lot. You know, let's try to make sure we accommodate that. So that's been a good thing for my administration, our superintendent. She's been great with supporting everything that we need to try and get things done. I think we have one of the best facilities here in the Low Country. You know, we have our own field house where, you know, we have an office where we can sit down as coaches and relax, where we in there and ain't nobody in there but us. We have our own locker room where we don't have to get dressed in front of anybody. We have our own locker room. We can sit there and kind of relax in there and just sit back and talk among ourselves about what we're on throughout the day. So, you know, they've been very supportive in what we're trying to do. And when it helps, you know, that's also a plus. When you're winning, that does help for them to understand. You know, he's winning. The program's successful. Let's try to make sure to accommodate what they need.
And I assume because you put academics first, you don't have a big issues with the teachers and everything. I assume you work well with them also, and they work with you too.
We do. I have a great relationship with our teachers in our building. It's because they know that when things are not going right, I prefer you to come to me before you go to the principal. Let that be the last resort. You know, there are rules that the school has that you have no opportunity, you don't have no other choice but to go to the principal. But if it's something minor, they're not doing what they need to do. They're not standing the task. Come to me. Give me an opportunity to talk to them. Let me try to correct it myself. Usually we can get it corrected because they know that, okay, I got to answer to the coaches. Then that means that something's not right. I got to change what I'm doing. They work well with us. We have study hall in the afternoon. That we have teachers that stay after school in core classes to help our kids if they need help. You know, they get an opportunity to go back in the mornings. Teachers will come early in the morning and say, look, you know, I need him there. Or if he needs 20 minutes in the afternoon and it causes him to miss practice, I'm willing to give up practice time for academic time because that's the important thing. And, you know, yes, my wife, I have a very supportive wife. I have to say that. You know, it's great when you have a wife that's inside the school building also. She does a great job of handling a lot of the academic stuff, where these kids need to be put, you know, what they need to take. This kid needs to stay after school. She works in special education, so she's a variety of different subjects. So if they're having trouble, I can always send them to her, and she does a great job of making sure that she can get them the help that they need, no matter what it may be. So we have a good working relationship with inside the school building.
So you're another one of these coaches who married way above their heads.
Oh, yeah, I punted my coverage. Yeah, I punted my coverage big time.
What do you do with your kids? Do you do anything like service, special service for the community and everything?
Community service, yeah. We try to do a community service project at least once or twice a year. We always try to do every year. They have a big pumpkin patch here at the big United Methodist Church here, where they have a big pumpkin patch, and the truck will come in with 1,200 pumpkins on it. And you know, even though we play on Friday night, that Saturday morning, I make sure that all of our football players are out there, unload that truck, and make sure those pumpkins are put out how they want them put out, where they want them put out. And that's just to give back, because they give so much to us. They give so much to our kids. We're one of the few teams here that we have Breakfast of Champions on home games. That every home game, one of the churches provides breakfast for our kids on home games, where they get sit down and they get a little devotion time, and they get to get a good breakfast, because you know a lot of times kids don't get that breakfast. And at least on home games, I know it's a long day. I know that they're getting a good breakfast to start the day off, and the community does a good job of providing for that, the money. And the churches do a good job of providing the place for them to sit down and eat in their fellowship halls. So anytime that we can give back and we can do anything, if they call on us, we're going to be there. We're going to get as many there as we can get. That's just our way of showing that we appreciate what they do for us, and we appreciate what they do for our program.
You get a lot of exposure for your kids. How do you do this? I mean, what do you do?
I don't really do, to be honest with you, Coach. I don't do a lot. I delegate. You know, that's what I tell them. A great head coach has great assistants. We as head coaches can't do everything. I have what we call a recruiting coordinator. That's what Corey does. You know, he's a strength and conditioning guy. He's a recruiting guy. You know, he's the one that gets this exposure of getting them together, getting these kids at different camps. You know, I help drive or whatever the case may be, but I leave that up to him, telling me that, all right, we need to take this kid to this camp. We need to get this kid on this campus. You know, I have to delegate that out, because I can't do everything myself, so I try to give them ownership as well inside the program. So I delegate things out to different coaches, and Corey does that. You know, if you need coaches to help drive somewhere, he'd be like, look, guys, I got these many kids. Somebody's got to drive. I need some help. And but he does all of the exposure of getting them to different camps. He's a communicator guy between coaches. Usually when I talk to coaches, it's close to that time where they've either offered – or we're ready to commit. For the most part, I don't do a lot of communication with coaches unless they're on campus. I come and speak and sit down and have a conversation with them. But if it's anything to deal with recruiting, Corey does all of that stuff for us. You know, that's what he does. If it does anything with academics, as far as their transcripts, as far as their core GPA, I delegate that out. The offensive coordinator, my offensive coordinator, Robert Williams, he does that. He knows exactly what their core is, so he knows what classes they're taking. When it comes down to if they want to know anything academically, Coach's core is going to refer them to him. He's going to say, all right, let's go get Coach Williams. He can tell you, you know, about where he is, what chances does he have, what kind of plan we're working for this kid, because they put him on plans. You know, as sometimes, you know, kids may be, you know, on the bubble of being eligible. Well, as coaches, you got to have a plan. What's your plan to help this kid get over the hump? And that's what they do. You know, they do a great job of working together and decide, you know, is he mid-major, is he D1, is he subdivision, or, you know, is he JUCO? They do a great job of that stuff, because I don't have time to sit down and just go through every kid. But if I delegate it out, they can come in there and tell me, you know, Coach, I think Johnny's got to go JUCO. I don't think he's going to make it. I say, you know, do we have a plan to try and see if we can get there? We've looked at every plan, you know, Coach. The plan is he's going to have to go JUCO. And I can accept that, because I know they've sit down and looked at every avenue possible for this kid to be successful. And sometimes it comes up the way they have to go JUCO. But for the most part, they find some type of plan. They put him in a class and say, look, you got to make this in this class. This is on you now. So they do a great job of that.
And you do great parent support. Except
parent support.
I know you got some knuckleheads, but for the most part, you get good, you get great parent support, I assume.
Oh, yeah, parent support. You know, our parents do a lot for our program. There's nothing that I can't call and ask them. A lot of times they volunteer without even me asking. You know, like I said, you know, on Mondays after a game, they get together. They already have it decided that they're going to feed the kids on Monday night after a game. All we have to do is show up and, you know, if the kids are missing something or if a kid don't have something at the last minute and you got a parent that's somewhere close by that can pick it up, they pick it up and they don't ask questions. They're like, Coach, I'm here. I get it. Don't worry about it. So, you know, we have great parent support. You're always going to be in a place where there a lot of times you get a couple of parents and want to dictate what's going on in the program. But you're going to get that anywhere you go. But for the most part, we don't have that. But, you know, they do a great job here in Bama helping these kids get what they need.
Your ultimate goal is to playing side to win a state championship. I know so much has to fall in place for that to happen. And I know you played for a club. I know you played for a club. How did you handle those losses?
How did I handle it? Say that again, Coach.
How did you handle those losses when you lost in the state championship games?
You know, my thing was, like you said, there's a lot to getting to a state championship, and there's even more to winning it. You know, each time we went, the first time we went and played Abbeville, I just felt like, you know, we overachieved. I mean, we're very young, but the kids played above and beyond their, you know, ability and got us to that point. I just felt like, you know, Abbeville was better than us, and there was no question about that. You know, and we accepted that, and we just moved on and said, you know, we just got to work to get back. You know, the second time we went, we ran into a lot of issues before we even had a chance to play, and I think that took a toll on us mentally. You know, I've never seen a state championship pushed back a week. We were actually pushed back a week due to some technicalities of saying we played an illegal player, whatever the case may be. Kid transferred in, and there was a lot going on, so the game didn't get played. I felt like that was a year that if we could have played the state championship the week after we won the lower state championship, we should have won that game. But because of all the distractions going on, you know, I just felt like mentally we weren't there. It just took a lot out of us to even know that we were going to have an opportunity to play. But, you know, we still played, and, you know, our kids – we don't make excuses for anything. We gave everything that we had. Christchurch just was better than us that night. You know, but our kids still hold that, and they still remember that because there's some of these guys that's here that were on that team, and they still remember, you know, how things were, and they're looking forward to having an opportunity to give themselves a chance to get back to doing that again without any distraction. So, you know, we don't hold it. We don't dwell on it. You know, because every team is different. Every year is different. So, you know, we just got to take what we have and try to build what we got and try to get back to that point where we can be there to give ourselves a chance to play for another state championship. And this time maybe, you know, go in there and things fall the way they need to fall, we'll win it.
Did that change the way you prepared for the next season, or you just kept things the same way? Did you learn anything coming from those experiences?
Well, no, we kept things the same. We didn't change up a lot. The only thing we changed up was we changed up our conditioning a little bit more. In the off season, we did a little more running during the off season than we did the previous year. So, but our kids knew that, and that's just because we're a small school. You know, we're playing 2A football, but we only got 400 kids in the schoolhouse. So, you know, we got kids that's got to go both ways. And we got to make sure that they're prepared, that you may have 4 or 5 that may have to go both ways for most of the night. So we just had to change up our condition a little bit. We changed up weight room just a hair for skill and linemen. Skill guys, we didn't try to put too much weight. We're not trying to put a lot of weight on them. But our linemen, we're trying to get them as strong as possible because we do run the football. You know, that's just we're built for running the football, and that's what we're going to do. We're going to try to make sure our linemen can get as strong and as big as they can get, that we'll be able to establish the run, and then we'll be able to throw the football here and there a couple of times throughout the game. We just don't have that one quarterback that can come in here and gunsling it. I wish we did, but we hadn't had that since I've been here. And, hopefully in the making, we got one coming. I see a young kid. I see him. He's about 6'3 right now. He's in eighth grade, and hopefully he can come in here and be one of them gunslingers, and we can throw the ball a little bit more than what we've been throwing. For the most part, we're just trying to get our kids bigger and stronger up front so we'll be able to run the football.
You
During the season?
Yeah.
We live Mondays and Wednesdays. Monday and Wednesday is our weight room day. We come in and we're going to the weight room as soon as school over with. You have to report to the weight room, be dressed and ready to go in the weight room right after school. Once we do that, then we'll get on the field. But we're going to live Monday and Wednesday throughout the And it's not more so to get stronger. It's more so of just so you can maintain. You're dealing with long seasons, your body's got to be able to hold up. You know, we're trying to prepare you to play for 14, 15 ball games. You don't lift during that time, nicks and bruises will start taking over.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so we kind of lift just to maintain strength, not more so to get stronger during the season, because you're not going to get strong during the season. You're just trying to lift to prevent injuries and the little nicks and bruises. If you do get them, then if you're lifting, you got a chance to get it back a little bit faster than you would if you want.
And your kids understand that they're getting prepared for a 14-15 game season.
Yes, they look forward. They know that we're trying to get them to maintain and not more so the strength. But they look forward to it because it also gets them going. As far as, you know, because sometimes, you know, they get a nick or a bruise here and there, and they realize that, you know, it could have been a lot worse if I wasn't lifting. So they know what it does to help them be able to maintain throughout the year. And that's a good thing that they bought into it. You know, even with the strength and conditioning program right now, you know, we're blessed to be able to go in the weight room at 6 o'clock in the morning. I mean, we have 40 kids that get up in the morning and be at, you know, before they get to school, they come to the weight room at 6 o'clock to go ahead and lift. Because, you know, we got some still playing baseball, some playing soccer, some that's running track, and they don't like to lift before they go to track practice. So they rather come lift in the morning and then go to their sport right after school. So we're blessed to have that going on. And then the ones that can't, we still have the weight room at 3 o'clock, and they'll come in and lift and do what they've been, you know, their regular routine. And then going to track practice or whatever they got to go. But we've been blessed to have that go on here in Baton Rouge.
Now, how much area does your school cover? I mean, I've been to Baton before.
We cover Earhart. We have a few kids that live on the other side of Earhart, which probably takes them about 25, they're the furthest. They're probably taking about 25 minutes to get to school. And that's those that live just way out in the country of Earhart. But for the most part, most of our kids are in probably about an 8 to 9 mile radius of the schoolhouse. So it's not that they have a long way to go, but those that do make adjustments and they kind of look out for each other, because if there's more than one coming, everybody don't drive. You know, they kind of ride together to look out for each other so that everybody don't have to try to drive a vehicle up there. But we don't have a wide area to cover, which is probably about a 9-10 mile radius that we cover.
And what's your average attendance in the morning?
In the summer or doing right now?
Right now.
Right now, we have about 35 to 40.
6 o'clock in the morning.
6 o'clock in the morning. During the summer, During the summer, we have every one of them in the weight room at 6 o'clock in the morning. That's not even an issue. We lift every morning at 6 o'clock Monday through Thursday during the summer for 8 weeks. And we have right at 90% attendance rate every morning. That's just based on, you know, a couple of kids may go on vacation, may have something going on with church or something like that. But if we got 60 in the program, we're going to have about 55, 54 every morning in the weight room at 6 o'clock.
And why did you pick morning workout?
Just to give my kids the opportunity. So many of them want, so I told them, let's get up early, let's knock it out. Let's knock it out. That gives you a chance. If you still got a job, you can still get to your job. Some of them were taking college courses during the summer. So I told them, let's go early. You can leave here, and you can go take those college courses on whatever campus you're going to take them on. But it also gets us out there before it gets 110-degree heat. You know, I'm more apt to get more out of them at 6 o'clock when it's nice and cool and the sun hadn't jumped out to get in the weight room and then start conditioning, you know, and running them before it gets 110 degrees. You know, that's part of the heat acclimation deal that we have to do every year, gradually working them into that. So 6 o'clock helps us out. You know, we don't have many kids cramping. We don't have a lot of dehydration going on because we're not out there in the middle of the heat. You know, a lot of people think you got to run in the middle of the heat in order to get conditioned. Now, if you gradually do it, they're going to get themselves in condition to be able to do what you asked them to do. So, you know, we just gradually work them in. When we start our program, we gradually start learning. And then by the end of the summer, you know, we're where we need to be at leading into camp because we've done it all summer. So I just don't believe in having to go stand out there in that heat to say we're getting better because it's 110. Oh, we're running the heat. Yeah, and what? When one falls out, then what? So, you know, what are you getting out of them? Are they giving you everything they have out there in that heat? You don't play on days where there's 110 degrees outside and the sun beaming on top of you. You rarely have a day game. Every game I play has been from 7:30 on later. So my thing is, we ain't got to go out there when the sun beaming to be able to play football.
Changing gears again. I mean, that is great. Now, you don't have a lot of, because the way you do it, with the workouts in the morning and everything, you don't have a lot of issues with the other coaches in the school as far as participation.
No, I've been got what I want out of them, and they can go, they want to play basketball, they can go. They ain't gonna shoot basketball all Friday. They can shoot basketball all day. I don't care. I done got what I need out of them. I did that at 6 o'clock. By 9 o'clock, I want everybody that's about 6 o'clock, 9 o'clock. I want everybody out of the field house.
Mm-hmm.
Go home, do something. Go to work. Go to basketball. Go wherever you want to go. By 9 o'clock, be trying to get up out of there. That gave me 3 good hours with you.
Now, how long does it last during the like right now? How long you keep them in the weight room right
we
now?
We go in the weight room at 6. Usually we try to get a good hour lift out of them. We're not doing any conditioning because they're in other sports right now, so we don't have to worry about running them. So we try to get a good hour in of lifting, you know, a lot of core work, and then we let them take showers there at the field house. Some of them go back home if they're close by. For the most part, they take showers right there at the field house, get dressed, and walk right to the schoolhouse. I'll tell you what I've noticed. I noticed that their grades are a lot better. I want to get them up early and get them moving.
I was about to ask you that if you saw a bump in the academics and everything.
Oh man, it's been great because the teachers are saying, you know, they seem more motivated because they've up, they've got a lift and they feel good about themselves. That come out of the weight room, you feel good about yourself. You know, you walk around, your arms puffed up, you got your girls looking at you. So you know, it's been a plus for us. That they've been able to get in there and do that and then get to school and still maintain great, you know, good grades. You know, teachers appreciate it because they're most of the time, they're a little bit tired saying, you know what, I ain't got time to play. Let's get this over with and get it done. I don't want to sit in here and crack jokes. You know, it cuts down on a lot of the discipline issues.
I was getting ready to go there. How do you have discipline at the school? I mean, you may be the first school I know that does not have a discipline issue with your players and everything. If so, take this course.
Well, the way we handle the discipline issues is, you know, I tell teachers, you do what you do first, and then whatever you do determines what I'm going to do. But if you come to me and want me to handle it, then I handle it based on our handbook. Each kid at the beginning of the year was given a handbook that talks about discipline, talks about, you know, if you do this, you break this rule, or if a teacher writes you up, this is what happens. So they kind of know where they are when it comes down to it, that I've broken a rule, then I'm in jeopardy of something happening. What's going to happen, it just depends on what you did. But it's all in that handbook. All you got to do is pull it out. The parent have, make the parent sign it, and I make the player sign it. So that if I come in and I feel like your conduct's been detrimental to the team, even though it's off season, you know, I feel like, all right, you're done for this year. You're not going to come in the weight room. I'm not allowing you to come out to the weight room. You're not going to be a part of. But that's only going to put you further and further behind if you can't get in the weight room, because the man that's still working is probably going to be the man that plays in front of you. Just because you don't know how to handle yourself, you don't know how to do what needs to be done to take care of your discipline inside the schoolhouse, probably putting you in jeopardy of, you're going to realize, you know what, I ain't playing, so I probably won't even come out to football the following year. So they kind of, that kind of handles itself. If you really want it, then you're going to do what needs to be done inside the schoolhouse, so we don't have to deal with those issues. There's only been a few that I've had to do that with that were not, you know, allowed to play. But once the kids see that, uh-oh, I want to play, so if I better get right. If not, I ain't going to be around. So it works for us. I'm not saying that's the best way.
Do you have great leadership on your team with the guys?
We have a couple that know how to lead on and off the field. We have a couple that want to be leaders, but not sure. They're not quite sure how to lead. You know, they feel like I can only lead when I'm on the field. But like I tell them, great leaders lead on and off the field. We've had that. We've had a few to come through. But this group that's coming through now has a couple of guys that can lead on and off the field of what, how to carry yourself, what's expected of you as a student, what's expected of you as an athlete, what is expected of you as a community guy, being inside the community. How do I handle myself? How do I carry myself? You know, so we do have a couple of those guys coming through in this program, I mean, in this class, coming up that's like that.
So you give them room to handle themselves before you get involved?
Yes. I have what we call a player committee. I usually pick about six guys that are those guys that I feel like, you know, I get with the coaches. It's not I pick them, but our staff sits down and be like, all right, let's find six guys that we feel like that can take this program and lead it if we were not here. If we were not here today, they know what needs to be done to keep this program running. And we pick about six guys, and they're the mediator. They're the ones that kind of intervene. If there's a problem, they kind of handle it before it gets to me. They're the ones that if they want something, you know, the kids say, well, you know, coach, we want to go through and do this. They go to the player panel, and then the player panel come and sit down and talk to me. We have when kids are disciplined and they're on the verge of being kicked off, the player committee has that opportunity to sit down and be advocates, you know, to advocate for this kid. Tell me, what's the benefit of me, us keeping him on this program? All right. What do we need to do if he is not doing what needs to be done? Give me your input on that. You know, I allow them to tell me what they feel. You know, coach, I think he needs to go. You know, I keep that in mind that, you know, the kids really don't want him here. So why am I trying to hold him here? Not let the kids say, okay, the kids can kick off if they want to kick off. But if they can give me legit reasons of why they feel like they're not on there, then, you know, we can communicate among us, you know, among the staff and that committee to make decisions. But it gives them a little ownership of it.
Do you ever go against what they decide? You say, well, I'm going to give this kid another I'm going to try one more time.
Yeah, I, you know, a lot of times I go against you know, based on, you know, I give them explanation of why I feel like I got to say, okay, we're going to do this instead of, you know, what you want done. Let's try this. Let's do this intervention because, you know, sometimes kids don't see what you see as an adult. So, you know, you still got to use your adult wisdom. And, you know, once I sit down and explain to them and say, all right, we're going to do this. Now, let's. I want you to keep your eye on it to make sure these things are being done that way. So, you know, they understand that, and the committee understands that the ultimate say is going to still come from me. I just want your opinion because I value it and making those decisions. But the ultimate decision still has to come from me.
Mm-hmm. Now, you play in that league. I call it the Black and Blue League down there. Well, Lisa, you Black and Blue. Who is in your conference right now?
Oh, you call it the Black and Blue. We're gonna start calling the SEC West. Right now, we're sitting in the conference with Batesburg Leesville, who just played for the state championship. Played Baldwin, who was playing for the lower state championship against Batesburg Leesville. Got Calhoun County, who I think got knocked out in the second round, maybe. Got Allendale Fairfax, who I think got knocked out in maybe the second round, maybe the third round. Then you got Silver Bluff, who was down a little bit this year, but that was in coaching change, and I think Coach A was going to do a great job of getting them turned around. But they were still a hard-fought team to play against because they're still Silver Bluff based on tradition. So, you know, you got those teams there that are powerhouses year in and year out. You got to come to play each and every night. You know, I told our kids, you can't. There's no game where you're going to have a game off to where you can come out here and play around and still win the ball game by 2-3 touchdowns. You can come out and not be focused, and before you know it, you're getting beat by 3-4 touchdowns. So, you know, we're in a tough conference. We embraced it, you know, when they did the new realignment. We embraced the conference. It seemed tougher when they announced it, and it is tough. But we just embraced it, and once our kids realized that, you know, we embraced it, they were better with it. They understood that, you know, it's only going to give them opportunity to shine and play better in front of bigger teams like, you know, Silver Bluff and Batesburg and Baldwin and Allendale and Calhoun County. So. Yep.
You prepared well for that. You know, I've always been impressed. Play. I was looking at some of the kids that when I was doing the Shrine Bowl, and I was looking at some of your teams, you know, some of your games and everything, and I said, you know, it's still there. I mean, you know,
right.
And
you
can feel your kids having fun, you know, from the tapes and everything. You can feel that.
Right.
You know, that's what jumps out at you. Let's talk a little bit of those, but I don't want to get too involved in actually those and everything. But what is your basic philosophy?
Offensively, we want to be a spread up tempo team. We want to get into getting you into situations where it puts strain on your defense. We're going to a little different this year, not to unfold what we're trying to do offensively, but we're going to become a little more option minded this year. We got a young kid that plays quarterback that's fairly athletic, and I think putting him in an option situation in the gun will help us offensively. Again, creates chances for him to throw some play-action passes off of the option look. So we're going to be more options. We're going to be more option-minded this year going into the season.
And defensively?
Defensively, we're 3-4. You know, that's our base. We'll come out. We'll put different packages together. We might be in a four-man front, but we're going to be in our base 3-4 look.
And what's your mentality on both sides of the ball? What kind of mentality you have as far as executing what you do offensively and defensively?
I guess my thing is be disciplined. You know, both sides of the ball. You know, I try to tell us, you know, the team that makes the fewest mistakes is going to be the team that wins. So we try to make sure that we harp on the little things of executing. You know, the two ball games that we lost this past year against Batesburg, when you go back and look at it, it was the little things that cost us defensively, not playing sound football, option correctly. Based on what we practice all week, you know, a lot of times you got a thing you want to do your own deal. When you do that, then you put yourself and your teammates in trouble. Offensively, I thought we were a little more sound offensively. We got going. We were so green on offense this past year. But we have those guys coming back. I think that's our strength coming up next year is our offense. We're losing a lot defensively. But we have some young kids that have a lot of playing experience. They're going to be fine defensively, but offensively, I think that's our strength is because of what we have coming back. We're going to be very up-tempo. We're going to be quick-paced. We're going to try to formation you as much as we can and put you in different situations to see if you can adjust. But that's where we are right now. My biggest thing is the one phase of the game that nobody talks about. Everybody talks about the offense and the defense. I don't even really get into it with our guys. I'm more of the special teams coordinator around here. I stress and harp special teams because I just feel that that's where you get beat at. Why are you laughing, Coach?
Coach, I know. There's a special teams coordinator.
I'm a special teams coordinator around here. Them guys handle offense and defense. I tell them that's y'all game. I handle the special teams. You know, I just feel like, you know, we work – we're going to work kickoff and punt every frapping day from the first time we pick up a football to the last day we pick up that football. We're going to work kickoff and we're going to work punt. Them two things that get you beat. And then we're going to make sure we find two good return teams. We're going to find a punt return and a kickoff return. And we're going to have multiple ways of returning it. So, you know, that's my thing. I try to score on special teams. That's when I'm trying to score is when we get on special teams. I want to try to find that cheap score on special teams where we can get a block punt or, you know, we can return a kickoff or return a punt. Anywhere I can try to get points, I'm trying to get points. You know, we've been blessed to have a decent field goal kicker here lately. So, you know, we've been trying to get inside the red zone, trying to work on putting 3 points on the board if we can get it. So, you know, that's what I harp. They ready, kid.
You're going to make sure you get your coaching time in there.
Yes, sir. That's when I get my coaching time. I say, y'all, when you get there, let me get the special teams in order, and then y'all can handle the rest.
Throughout your career, I know we've had somebody that has influenced you. The first thing I want to ask you is, who is that guy that influenced you as far as molding your philosophy as far as football, being a football coach?
I would have to say Wayne Farmer. Wayne's been a great inspiration to me. You know, like I said, when coming into this profession when I was about 22, 23 years old, you know, he was the guy that was, he was still young himself, kind of took me on his wing and showed me some different things and seeing some different things and learning some different things of how to do things, how not to do things. You know, he's a wing T guy. You know, I was never a wing T guy except when I was with him. I believed in the wing T when he ran it. That's just because me being loyal to him. You know, when I got out and got my own deal, I always was a wishbone guy. I wanted to be a wishbone guy. We ran wishbone for the first 4 years I was here as head coach. And then we became spread after I got out and started doing some research on different spread stuff. But Wayne's been the guy that's been that guy that if anything goes down, I can still call him, ask him for his opinion, you know, give me some suggestions on how to do certain things. You know, he's been that guy, and I've always felt like, you know, he's been the guy that's got me to this point, to where I am now in my career, is because of what he's done for me and you know, where he's been for me and the opportunities that he gave me, because if it wasn't for him, I wouldn't even have an opportunity of learning anything about becoming a defense coordinator or learning how to be a head coach, because I had to learn all that stuff from him. He showed me the way, and I've taken it and ran with it. You know, I've learned some different things, and so it's been a good ride from just listening to him and learning from him.
Okay, and part two.
Yeah.
If you were to, if someone, if a great a known coach gives you, he said, Kevin, I'm gonna give you 1 hour of my time.
Mm-hmm.
Who would you want that coach to be, other than Wayne?
Oh man. Hmm. I don't know. Right off the top of my head, I would probably say it would probably be Nick Saban. I would probably want to sit down and learn from him just for his runs that he's had and the success that he's had in Alabama, LSU, and places that he's been. You know, I would want to know what he knows. When you get in certain situations, I'm pretty sure he's been in just about probably every situation there is. So, you know, I want to know what he knows so that when I get to that point and that situation comes about, I know how to handle it.
Have you ever met Nick?
Yeah, I met Nick. Sat down with a little bit when he was recruiting my son, Alabama. Went over and worked Nick's camp for a little while one summer. But it's never been sit down and, you know, had that hour talk about just football. Even, you know, with him recruiting my son, it was more about my son. It wasn't about, you know, the X's and O's of football.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And the reason I asked that question, because something happened to me in my younger days when I was when I was coaching. And I had an opportunity to spend a whole hour, and you may not remember this dude right here, but I had a whole hour to spend. No, actually, it was an hour and a half to spend with Bill Walsh. I don't know if you remember Bill Walsh.
Oh, man. Yeah, I remember Bill Walsh.
And I learned more about organization than I could ever know. That's one thing that really turned – Got my career stabilized and everything. How to organize and how to delegate and everything. So I asked that question, guys. You know, because you know, we didn't talk about X's and O's because you know we that's never important to me. The other part is how do you put this machine together? That's what I want to know.
That's exactly. I want to know how to get this machine running right.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir. Well, I understand exactly where you're coming from.
So I ask everybody that question. So don't feel like you're on the spot.
Nah. I'm glad you asked that. I'm telling you, a lot of people don't realize that it's about the organization skills. That's half the battle of winning, if you can get organized.
Yeah, you can do that. Now, on the last part of it, you get a lot of guys into these all-star games, into all these thing. How does that process work for young guys out there who don't know?
Exposure. Whenever you see these camps, get your kids into the camps. Nike has camps. You have to do a little bit of traveling, but get them into those camps. Nike. I can't remember. There's a bunch of them out there.
Mm-hmm.
But when they have camps, get your kids in camps. Get your kids on campus, the college campuses. When they're holding camps, get them on camp. Get them in camp, you know, because they're going to work one-on-one with them, and they're going to learn while they're there. And if anything, they can bring something back to your school, something that's going to make them even better as a player. So, you know, my thing is this is exposure and getting exposure to wherever you can get exposure to.
Now, has anybody ever asked you what you do as far as getting them exposed and everything? I mean, not getting them to school, but getting them exposed and everything?
The time I have people call. They'll call me and ask, Coach, how do you get your kids out there? And like I said, it's more so exposure. Corey does a great job of finding where the camps are.
talking to different people that run the camps. He's actually worked a couple of the camps to know what they're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's one of the pluses that we have. I have a guy that's a
he got a mouthpiece on him, I say.
Mm-hmm.
He talks to everybody.
Yeah.
So, you know, he knows who to go and talk to find out, okay, I got this kid I'm trying to get. He's probably an all-star, maybe able to play in the Under Armour All-American game, or he might be able to play in the U.S. Army All-American game. Once that happens, we find out where those camps are being held, and we get them to those camps. And then let them do the evaluating, you know. They'll be able to tell you whether he can play. And once you find that out, that's all you need, because then after that, you can run with it. You can take them wherever you want to take them then.
Well, I'm glad that I had you on, Corey. I know you got to get with your family and everything, but I got one more question for you.
Uh-huh.
How long have you been coaching?
This makes 20. I just think I did 24. I'm working on 25, I think.
This number 25,
I try not to keep up with them. It starts making me feel like I'm getting old when I start keeping up with how many years I coach.
Keep up with them, man. They're I say you never go to work if you're passionate about what you do. Question.
That's right.
If a young guy comes to you for advice to be a coach, what advice would you give him?
Advice is to learn from other people. Don't never think you know everything, because we don't. As coaches, what makes good coaches is that they can go and they can learn from other people. Everything that I've learned, everything that I know, I've learned from somebody else. It's been nothing that I come in and say that this is all me, this is me. I've got it from somebody else. You know, the way we do things in our program, I've gotten it from different people. I've done things differently because I've learned differently from other people. So, you know, that's, as a young coach, don't ever come in thinking you know everything. Be the one that want to suck up everything. You want to learn as much as you can learn from as many different people as you can learn from. So that's my biggest advice to a young coach, is to suck up all the knowledge you can suck up. Write it all down. Keep it, you know, you never know when you might need to pull it back up. I got books and notebooks full of info and different things that we've done defensively, offensively. I've written it down. It's all in books about dry rot, but I still got them, because you never know when the game's going to go back, and it's not going to revolving circle. Right now, it's a lot of spread stuff. Eventually, it's going to go back to a power game. More people are going to be running the eye. More people are going to be running the bone. It's going to all come back around again. And I try to keep all that stuff, so if it does, I have it, that I can always pull it back out and I'll be able to use it.
So the biggest advice you give them, dumb up every year.
Yes.
Well,
suck
Kevin,
all the info you can suck up.
Okay. Sound advice. Kevin, thank you a bunch, man. I really appreciate this, man. And
I appreciate you having me on.
And we're going to do this again, but, you know, it's amazing that, you know, a lot of people know you but don't know you. And I'm sure you're going to get some telephone calls, and people are going to come up because you're really a friendly guy. People get to know you.
Oh, yeah. That's what I tell them. You know, we've been at the clinics. They think, you know, we all stuck up. I'm not really stuck up. I just, you know, I sit back and I observe. You know, I want to watch, man. I'm learning from you. When I'm looking,
yeah,
and I ain't saying nothing, that's because I'm learning. I'm looking for something. There's something you got that I'm trying to figure out what you got, because I want to bring it to my program. So, you know,
yeah,
I don't do a lot of going out bragging and boasting, because that's not what this profession is about. You know, I sit walking around with my chest stuck out because, you know, we've been here for 9 years and we won this many games. You know, a lot of times I had to go back and count all these games up just to give them to you, because I don't go and sit down and think about every day how many wins we got, how many losses we got. Thinking about right now, this upcoming season, how can I get my kids better? How many games can I get them to win come 2017? That's what I think about. I don't think about, you know, the accolades and all that stuff. That means nothing to me. That's just added on stuff. My thing is preparation for the next year. I'm trying to get prepared for next year.
Well, most winners, most people who are successful, that's the way they go. And so you're not different from those people who are successful. Well, Kevin, thanks a bunch, man. Tell your wife that tell her thank me. Tell her to thank you for letting me have you for a little over an hour. And
all right.
And we'll be talking to you later, man. Thank you a bunch. Okay.
Okay then. All right. Thank you.
Good night. Oh, well, guys, that's Kevin Crosby, the great coach from Bamberg Earhart, and wow, that was a good one. That was a good one. And man, I'm enjoying this. I really am. All right, next week we got the master. One of the masters coming up next week. Reggie Kennedy from Irmo High School. Man, that's gonna be good. If you follow Reggie, you know he's had a stellar career, and throughout wherever he's been, he's built a program. And next week we'll be with Reggie Kennedy, and we'll continue this series on Monday night at 7 o'clock with the Monday edition of the Triple Wing Hammer Report with African American coaches. So until then. Stay warm tonight. My goodness, it's going to be cold, and not as cold as the people up north and everything, but it's going to be kind of chilly. But y'all have a good night, and I'll see you next Monday.
I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them blue for me and you, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I see skies of blue and clouds of white, the bright blessed day, the dark sacred night. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. The colors of the rainbow, so pretty in the sky, are also on the faces of people going by. I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them blue for me and you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I see skies of blue, clouds of white, the bright blessed day, the dark sacred night. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. The colors of the rainbow, so pretty in the sky, also on the faces of people going by. I see friends shaking hands, saying, how do you do? They're really saying, I love you. I hear babies cry. I watch them grow. They learn much more. What a wonderful world. Yes, I think to myself.
good night, all, and grab somebody tonight, give them a hug, and tell them you love them. Have a great